out of the scriptures from three different parts of the New Testament, and we'll get to that point. We're not there quite yet. So today is the beginning of a new way of doing and being church together. It's a new schedule. We've swapped a couple of things so that our Bible study hour comes after our worship hour. But there's a reason. There's a way in which this replanting journey that we've been on now is calling us to take some steps. About 6 months ago, we began to follow the Lord's work in replanting Robertsville. Now, I want you to hear me say this, and I want to kind of rehearse these things. There are at least two things that replanting means for this church, Robertsville Baptist Church. The first thing is this: replanting reorders our priorities. Now, it's not so much that our priorities were out of whack and we were misguided and disobedient and rebellious. It's just that there are some things that are really important that a church like ours needs to begin to focus on. And what replanting has done is it has helped us to discover three things, three priorities. The first is this: Robertsville is a church. We must glorify God in everything. So glorifying God in everything, that is our first priority. The second one is this: making disciples who make disciples. And the third priority is sowing the gospel out in the surrounding community that's around us in this place. So replanting reorders our priorities, but it does something else as well. Replanting reconnects us to the surrounding community. There was a day when a large number of people that were members of Robertsville Baptist Church, in other words, they came to church almost every Sunday, them and their families, their kids, and they sat in the seats where you're sitting today. And they lived nearby. Matter of fact, there was probably a day when some of those folks would walk to church because it was a lot easier to walk than to get in a car and drive, or maybe they didn't have a car that they drove, they just walked. Well, that day has passed. And all around us are people, perhaps, that we don't even know. Maybe we don't live in this area. We don't really know or consider the people that live near us, near our church, to really be our neighbors. And so what replanting does is it calls us out into the community and reconnects us relationally with our surrounding community. Because if we cannot effectively reach those that live around us, then we cannot effectively reach anyone anywhere. Today we are stepping out with the Lord in a direction that I believe and trust is His direction. We are stepping out to remain, as Galatians 5:25 says, to remain in step with the Spirit. Now, as we step out, church, we're not completely prepared yet. As we keep in step with the Spirit, we don't have every bit of information that we will have, but we are stepping out so that we can keep in step with the Spirit. I want to take us back to those 12 Israelites who crouched and conferred with each other right there at the boundary of Canaan. We've been taught they were called the 12 spies. But those Israelites who had been called together, those 12, to check out the land of Canaan, which was a land that they believed God had promised to them, and so they wanted to acquire that promised land. And so here those 12 Israelites crouched and conferred right there at that boundary to determine whether to move into the promised land that they knew a little bit about, but they didn't know everything. They knew that there were giants in the land, right? They knew that. They had seen that these were people that occupied this territory that they were moving into, and they were giants. Well, they also knew that this land that they had been promised had an amazing bounty of food. They call it the land flowing with what? Milk and honey. That's the place. They knew that. They had seen it. They had tasted it. And they also knew that they were kind of a small and weak people. They weren't like those giants. And they knew that. That's what they knew. It's what they did not know that kept them stuck. You say, well, Pastor, they didn't move forward because of the giants in the land. They knew about that, and that kept them stuck. Yeah, but there was something else that they didn't know that really kept them stuck, because if they had known it, they would have stepped out. It's what they didn't know that kept them there. They kept them outside of and away from God's promise, away from God's design. What they did not know was what it was that God was prepared to do. What they didn't know was that God would enable them to conquer those very giants that they saw. What they did not know was that God could make manna appear from the sand and water flow forth from a rock. What they did not know was that God would march a small and weak people in and around countless city walls and give them victory. It's what they knew that kept them stuck. It's what they didn't know that kept them from experiencing God in all of His glory, in all of His goodness, in all of His grace. Now, the story goes on, and you know it, right? They finally come around. They would finally start walking in step with God. Now, it was after 40 years of a round trip through the desert, but God eventually brought them back for a second chance. So here we are today, church. No, we're not the Israelites, and they're not 12 spies sitting in the room today that are keeping us stuck. None of that. I'm not making a comparison necessarily. But we are here today, at this point in time, you and me. You could be 1,000 other places. I'm talking about all of us here today, young and old, people from East Tennessee and people from other places. You could be 1,000 other places today, but look, you're here. We are here together today in this place, stepping out with the Lord, walking in step with His Spirit. We don't know all that we will know, but we don't wait to step out until we do know it. God has called us to step out, and we're stepping out today. We're not fully prepared, but with God's equipping, we will be. And God promises that He will equip His people, that He will fill His people, that He will help His people and empower His people to do what He has called them to do, to be who He has called us to be. Do you believe that? I pray so. We're in step together, and we're in step with the Spirit. Today, I want to push just a little bit further, and I want to point out to us one important part of being prepared for this journey, for walking with the Spirit. And that is this: we all, each one of us, have a part to play. Each one of us has a part to play. Now, I don't mean that we all have a part to play in terms of work necessarily. We need this floor mopped, or this wall painted, or we need this thing knocked down, or those weeds knocked down. I'm not talking about all of those tasks that we know about the working and functioning of a church facility and a church building and a church. What I'm saying, though, is that we all have a part to play in terms of how God uses us, person to person to person to person. You see, that's how God moves. Look beside you. Look who's sitting beside you. Or look around the room and see people that we know. Friends. Family. You are here today in this room partly because God is at work in your life, whether you know it or not, and He's made it possible for you to be here. But you're also here because of people. God works and moves person to person to person to person. There was a day and a time where all you had to do was open the doors of a church, cut the lights on, have a pastor, have some programming, and you would have a church full of people. That day has long since passed. And what God has afforded us the opportunity to realize is what has always been true, that God does His best work person to person to person to person. We see it in the life of Jesus. We see it in the life of His disciples. And we can see it in this very room at work even today. So let's see how it worked in Jesus' life. So in John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, I'll give a little bit of the storyline here. And I want you to pay attention to this because Jesus is, the way He moved about is He walked from place to place. And so as He journeyed from place to place, He encountered a woman, a Samaritan woman. And they're at a well where people would go and get their water. They would fetch their water. And so Jesus encounters this woman there at the well. And in verse 9, the Samaritan woman says to Him, to Jesus, after some interaction, she says to Him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman." Now, how do you think that she knew that Jesus was a Jew and that she was a Samaritan? Partly because of where they were located. But also there was things about their exterior that made it very clear the kind of person that they were. And you could discern or make a judgment about a person based on what they looked like on the outside. And it could have and maybe should have kept them from interacting with each other. But Jesus, steps over those boundaries and enters into conversation and ultimately into relationship with this Samaritan woman. She says, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. Why in the world are you talking to me? How can you ask me for a drink?" And there's a little commentary there. It says this, "For Jews did not associate with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, what does He say? You would have asked me, and I would have given you living water." Jesus enters into conversation with her and enters into a kind of conversation that gives a light into her otherwise dark and lost life. In this circumstance, we see how God is working person to person to person. You see, Jesus could have kept on going. He could have moved well past that well and that woman. He had a schedule, an itinerary to keep, but He stopped. He entered into conversation and entered into relationship with someone that He probably should never have stopped to talk to. You see, God in His grace and His mercy and His goodness and His glory seems to travel person to person to person to person. Well, there are other examples of this in the life of Andrew and Peter. Andrew, Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. What does it say? The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought Simon to Jesus. That great disciple and apostle, Peter, would have never even known about Jesus if Andrew had not first met Jesus and then found his brother and brought him to Jesus. You see, we all have a part to play. And God wants to work in our lives and through us in this same way, person by person by person. That there are people that God puts into our lives that he wants to use us to lead them and draw them to Jesus. That God wants to use us in their lives to shine his light into the darkness of their lives. There's one other story in the story of the early church in Acts, and it's Philip. And the Spirit tells Philip to go to the and find a chariot, a particular chariot, and stay near it. And Peter obeyed, and he ran to that chariot, and he heard a man reading Isaiah the prophet. And Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And this diplomat said, "How can I unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and to sit with him. And the story goes on, and Philip shared with him the truth of the scriptures that this Ethiopian diplomat was reading. And that diplomat found the Lord in that encounter, even to the extent that they found some water, and he was baptized by Philip. You see, who knows, had Philip not listened and obeyed, if that Ethiopian diplomat would have ever discovered the God that knew him and loved him and saved him. And God worked through Philip to reach out to this man. God moves in that same way today, person by person by person. We all have a part to play in this replanting. You say, "Well, Pastor, what can I do?" Well, today what I'm encouraging us to do is to consider how it is that God wants to use us person by person by person. How it is that God might want to use us in the relationships that we have or the people that we encounter to share with them the good news of what we know to be true about this place and what God does here. And how it is that we encounter the living God week after week after week. And how is it that we could keep that to ourselves? And all around us live people that do not encounter and know that God. I'm not saying they're all lost, but I would dare say there's a lot of folks that are. You have neighbors that don't have a church home. They don't know the grace of God. They don't experience him. And God might want to work in your life and through you, person by person by person. I will tell you this. What God will do through Robertsville will always be about relationships that are formed, friendships that he uses to draw people to him and to invite people into his family, to populate a room like this as we gather on Sundays to worship him. And so we all have a part to play in this replanting. And I pray that the Lord will lead us and show us even now how we can be used by him to draw people to him and to this place where we gather to encounter him. Lord, today, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for how it is that you are involved in our lives and in the life of this church. I want to thank you, Lord, about how it is that you're calling us into this journey with you, this journey of replanting. How it is, Lord, you're reordering our priorities. How it is, Lord, you're reconnecting us to the people that live around us. And Lord, I'm convinced it's not a program that you want us to develop and to carry out, Lord. It's not even renovations to a building that is the most important thing. That God, the way that you move is person by person by person. Jesus, we see how it is and that it played out in your life. We see how it played out in the lives of your disciples. And Lord, if we had time, we could testify today about how that has played out in the life of this church over the years. And even today, as we're gathered in this place, we are here because of someone else. Someone that brought us here to this place, that introduced us to the Lord, that through their friendship and our connection with them, Lord, we are here in this place today. And I believe that you want to do that over and over and over again. And so, Lord, we give ourselves to you for that purpose. We all have a part to play, Lord. So show us, Lord. Lead us to that person, to those people, that through relationships and friendships, they can be drawn to you. That, Lord, they can come to know you. They can experience you, Lord, your glory, your goodness, and your grace. Thank you for this day and for this time together. I pray, Lord, that you'll lead us and help us day by day and week by week as we enter into this new schedule and other things that will be new experiences for us. But Lord, as we do it, it's not that we're just trying to do something new, Lord, but we're wanting to follow you and be obedient to you, Lord, all for your glory in everything. To that, Lord, we give ourselves and we respond to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. And this last song that we sing, it's our time to...